You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Perhaps we should have been more prepared.
And Daryl.
Have you come seeking wisdom? You certainly need it.
Greetings and welcome to episode 142 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on August 20th. October?
We didn't change November. The date.
November.
No, it's still October.
October 20th.
September 27th.
here, I'll fix it for you.
2016.
There we go.
I'm so hyped about BlizzCon, I can't even tell you what day it is right now. And Legion has finally unleashed, like, it's let its claws out of my, it's taken its hooks out of me, and I'm finally playing some other games again. And with me tonight is my bro host, Daryl. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and I'm, I don't know if I'd say excited, but tonight is the first night. We're trying something new. We're recording this on Discord. We've been using Skype for the last 4.5 years. I'm excited to see how this turns out, so hopefully the quality's still, well, I don't know how great it is or ever was, but at least it's as good as it used to be. So if it's not, let us know, please, and, you know, so we know whether to stay with Discord or go back to Skype. But anyway, I'm looking forward to see how this turns out.
So what's going to happen tonight is going to be another self-serving episode. And I know what you're thinking is, oh my gosh, you guys never do that. But I know we don't. Just give me this one, because what we have is the brand new class to Legion. This expansion is Demon Hunters. And most of you know I've been playing a Demon Hunter tank. And where I've gotten a lot of my information from is the Wowhead Guide. So I reached out to Monkey, who wrote the Wowhead Guide, and I said, will you please come and talk to us and set the record straight and help me out? And he said yes. So can I have a warm Training Dummies welcome from Monkey? Thank you so much, man, for coming and talking video games with us.
Yeah, man, no problem. Glad to be on.
So what we're going to do is kind of our little get to know you, you know, have a couple drinks, do the fake yawn, stretch the arm out, see if we can spend some quality time and see where this goes. The first thing I wanted to ask you is when did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Well, I dabbled over the years growing up with it. I'd always liked the idea of WoW and MMOs specifically. So every year or so, I would play trial or whatever, maybe try for a month. I dabbled for a while, and then I decided, and around the time SOO was out, came out, I decided I wanted to get into it, get more serious into it, and actually, you know, check out the rating scene, see what everything was about. So really, I really started playing, at least I consider myself started playing during Siege. That's when I started, and I started playing tank during Heimal, and ever since then, I've been playing a tank, and I had the honor of being in the alpha/beta. A friend got me an invite to that, and I picked up the Demon Hunter class, and I said I wanted to do something for the community and help out and do some theory crafting, because I'd always liked it. So I picked it up, and Vengeance has become my baby. I've been doing the theorycrafting for it since Alpha, and have become the main guide writer for it. I write the Wowhead guide, the Icy Veins guide, the MMO champ sort of guide. I wrote the first official guide, and I'm the one that makes the stat prios and all that, et cetera, et cetera. So my main is obviously Vengeance. So yeah.
So it's really good that you're here, because it sounds like we've got all of our bases covered.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. What is the origin of the name Monkey?
It actually came from my Xbox 360 gamer tag back in the day. It was about a little over 10 years ago. I started playing on there, and I wanted to make a name different, in my opinion. And I decided, what could I name? Like, what are two things I like, or that I think are okay or cool, whatever. And I liked monkeys. I don't know why. I just thought that they were cool. Like just the agility, I guess, of them. And ninjas. So I made Monkey Ninja.
Yes.
And then eventually over time, it shortened my adult name of Monkey.
Nice.
You're all grown up now.
Yeah.
I'm no longer a ninja. That's for kids. I'm just a monkey now.
I don't know, man. Ninja's pretty sweet. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Well, one of my fondest memories was when I was in the military. I was in California. And it was one Christmas I couldn't come back home. So I had a bunch of friends that I had played Guild Wars 2 with and some other game. And on New Year's Eve, we decided that we all wanted to be nerds and have a drinking party playing multitude of games between Guild Wars 2 and Left 4 Dead 2 and all that. And I got pretty hammered. It was a good time, got pretty hammered, played with people I had never met before, played over the internet. And we went for like 5-6 hours, and it was one of the best times I've ever had.
That sounds very reminiscent of every single Friday for us during raid. Yeah,
<right. laughs> Drinking and video games goes very well together.
It does. It really does.
Now, if you're not the one drinking, it doesn't go that
way. When you're stuck babysitting.
Yeah, well, I avoid that problem by being the one drinking. So,
better to be the one drinking.
Exactly. What would you say is your favorite Blizzard title?
I think I'm going to go with the obvious one and say WoW. But I dabbled with Overwatch. I've played all of the Blizzard games. I actually grew up with Warcraft, the originals, and StarCraft. My grandpa plays RTSs, so I grew up with Warcraft 1, 2, and 3, and StarCraft 1, and the expansion. So I kind of grew up with those, but Warcraft 3 is definitely up there. Overwatch, I'm a huge fan of, but I'd say the biggest one is still obviously WoW.
Right up.
So what's your favorite thing about Legion so far?
It's hard to say because I like Mythic Plus. I kind of like the artifact because it kind of gives you something to do. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like, now I got to go and farm again to get my artifact up. And we're actually getting to the point where artifact knowledge is high enough and people have an experience where you don't have to get your artifact up as much. You don't have to put as much time into it because people have gotten their third traits by now and it's not as big of a deal, especially with knowledge being so high. But that's cool, and I like how fast they're pushing out 7.1. It's nice, especially with Karazhan coming out. I'm really excited for that. That looks like a lot of fun. The content overall. Obviously, Nightmare with the 18-hour race. That kind of sucked. But outside of that, I'd say it's kind of just everything as a whole. I think it's really helped to revitalize a part of the game and brought a lot of players back.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
I started in SOO, so not a ton of experience.
There's still some good bosses there.
I kind of like Black Fuse a lot. I think my top three are definitely Black Fuse, Ogar from BRF, and Black Hand from BRF. Thogar is probably probably more of a toss-up between Thogar and Blackhand, but Thogar, I just thought he was so cool with the trains and just the variants in them, and you were just constantly moving. I just thought it was really cool, and it was different.
Right.
The trains go by.
I forget about how clever some of these fights are, considering how many different raids there have been over the years, and to put out something new and fresh, and like you're fighting this guy and dodging trains the whole time. I was like, that was a good one, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even remember that boss until you mentioned the trains. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was kind of cool. So,
Except for you had to have the add-on, or otherwise half your raid was just going to derp and get run over. And then
They'd still get run over.
Yes, they would.
All right, Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, but I have a bunch of real questions.
All right, well, let's get moving on to that.
This is Stravi from Running of the Gnomes, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, and that is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. And Rob, since this is more self-serving for you than me, I'm going to let you take over right here.
I am pretty hyped, and I have read your guide extensively, but I think we'll just start at the top. We'll start with kind of the basics, maybe stats and what that looks like. One of the biggest problems I have right now, I think, with stats for any classes, and especially tanks, is they change depending on the content that you're doing. So if you want to talk about that a little bit to start off with.
Sure. So in my opinion, people weigh stats too heavily as far as they, like, just looking over forums and stuff, people are too quick to blame their mistakes on their stats. So a little bit of venting, but just people, like, you guys need to remember that skill is greater than everything. In most cases, skill will be greater than gear. In some cases, sure, you know, there is a certain gear cap on some harder bosses. But in the end, if you're better at it, that's how the guys that are in the world first and all that, they do all the content 20 item levels lower than 95% of the people. They're able to do it because they have the skill.
Right. And it's not because they're perfectly itemized.
Yeah, no. And people think that, oh, they're perfectly itemized, and it's throwing a handful of pieces, and especially in Nightmare, if anybody who has actually looked at the itemization in Nightmare will tell you their itemization is not good. It's no bueno. Going into the stats, I guess I could list them off real quick. So I made 3 stat priorities, which some people are complaining about that because there's too many stat priorities. But tanks in general have... you have a survival priority and a DPS priority. And then since MOP, there's been a challenge mode priority, which is now the mythic. The only difference is now I'm actually telling you what they are. Before, you get the survival, maybe a DPS prio, but 9 times out of 10, if a guide had a stat priority in it, it was, this is the survival. And then if you wanted a DPS, you kind of had to figure it out for yourself. Or if you did challenge modes, you kind of figured it out for yourself, or kind of gauged off of what some other people did. So it's not that hard. So great survivability, so versatility and haste, mastery, and then crit, DPS. Stats are all, like, extremely close. So it's pretty much mastery, crit, versus haste, and then mythic plus is going to be mastery, and then it's crit slash verse, and I'll get that in a sec, and then it's haste. For mythic plus, there's 2 ways you can do it. You can either do mastery and crit or mastery and verse. Do mastery and crit, that's more for pushing DPS, you know, pushing as hard as possible. So that would be more for your farm runs. In some cases, you might want to do that if you're pushing a little bit, but what some guys have found more, especially the ones that have done the plus 15, some of them have more versatility because you need the survivability. So they're going mastery and verse. So it's kind of that toss-up of they're both viable. And if you're less skilled, the mastery verse will definitely help you get into mythic plus easier, make your life easier. The crit is more so for just doing farm, doing lower levels, or if you're doing like a carry group, you want to get in and out as fast as possible.
Plus 15s already? I raid with some interesting people, and I will always take survivability no matter what.
That's very tactful, Rob. Awesome.
We have some extremely talented people and some extremely bourbon-heavy people, and you never know where you're going to end up.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
So my takeaway from that is... stats are, for the most part, pretty close. But if you're really looking for stat weights, and if you're really trying to eke out that min-maxing, you can. And there are different priorities depending on your content. But otherwise, if you're casual, it kind of isn't a big deal.
Yeah, if you're doing below, like, even at this point, heroic rating, anything below heroic rating and lower level mythic plus, you can pretty much run whatever you want. Because those are so easy at this point. yes, I understand that for some people, you know, they're not as skilled. Their group is not as skilled. They may be heavy drinkers in the raid and tank dies or whatever. So you run a survival trial. Simple. If you get to the point where content you're clearing is so trivial, or it's just you're just getting so good that you don't need the survival, that's when you go on to DPS. DPS stat weights or stat prio. There's a difference between weights and prio, so make sure you use it properly. The difference between the survival and the stat and the DPS stat prios is survival generally is more for progression. DPS is more for farm. Is the easy way to look at it. But they're both in relation to raiding. And if you're only going to do like Mythic Plus with some raiding, maybe Heroic, like a lot of guys, especially in the Discords that I've talked with, they're like, I want to push Mythic Plus hard, but I'm going to do Heroic raiding as well. Well, are you going to do Mythic at all? No? All right, just do a Mythic Plus prio. You'll be fine. Your survivability isn't going to drop into nothingness just because you're not stacking haste. No, everything still has a certain level of survivability and or DPS to it. It's just which ones are better, you know.
I was in Sleepbag stream earlier, and people were, you know, asking the typical questions about tank ratings and whatnot. And somebody asked him about Demon Hunters, and he said, "Yeah, Demon Hunters are actually perfectly fine for Mythic rating, but." You know, a lot of the tanks are just kind of middle of the pack right now. And so if you're really, 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 really looking for like progression, bleeding edge rating, then yeah, there's a couple that eke out above that. But like most of them are okay. You can do Mythic Raid with a Demon Hunter. You can probably do it with a Blood DK. You'll probably be fine.
Week one, there was, because I remember I checked it. Granted, it's Nightmare. I know some of the guys, probably you guys in tank chat, you're going to listen to this. At the end of week one, there was, it was one DK, one Brewmaster, and like two Demon Hunters, and then the rest were split between Paladins, Warriors, and Druids. So there was one of every, at least one of every class, of every tank spec, had killed Xavius by the end of the first week. Since then, the numbers have risen. And another thing that we say a lot in the DH Discord, and I know Tank Discord says it as well, is there's the rankings, like the quote-unquote tank rankings, which I pretty much just go by the Tank Discord because I trust a lot of those guys. But it's pretty much, here's the rankings. Oh, if you really want to min-max, go for the first two. If you're in a position where you have to ask what the rankings are, then you're not in a position where they matter.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the general consensus. Yeah. If you have to ask, then it doesn't matter for you.
Yeah. I feel like if you're in somebody's stream asking what class you should play, then you're probably not taking it that serious to begin with.
Yeah. No, because the high end raiders, they, you know, they all do it. They play multiple classes, like especially the tanks. They'll go through all the tanks in beta and they'll say, all right, these are the tanks I like. These are the tanks that, these are the tanks that are higher DPS. These are better survivability. These are the ones I like. All right, so then they already have an idea going into the expansion, and then into the expansion things change. And they'll still play, like most of the guys I know play at least two tanks up to four, and they'll, you know, and a lot of them are in the tank Discord, and so they're talking, comparing between the different classes and whatnot. So all the guys that it matters for, they already know roughly where all the tanks stand, at least for them and their raid group. So if you have to ask, it doesn't work. It doesn't affect you. Have fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about talents? I know you've got it in your guide here, and what you have here in the notes is actually perfectly laid out. If you just want to go through some of these, and I'll probably pop in and ask you some questions because some of them I do one thing or another on.
So. Okay. So for the first row, basically it's pretty much only agonizing flames at this moment, but as of this moment in like 3 or 4 days, 7.1 hits, and our number one choice gets nerfed.
So, oh, really?
Yes. Agonizing Flames is getting nerfed on Tuesday. So I still have to do the numbers on it. I did some very basic numbers the other day. I didn't actually get to do any testing on it. But the way it's looking, with the patch is going to be Razor Spikes is going to be the single target option and Agonizing Flames for AoE, which I'm perfectly fine with because Razor Spikes an extra layer to the class and extra bit of flavor, because in order to maximize it, you have to make sure you have enough pain saved up. You pop your Demon Spikes, you dump your Soul Cleave, you dump your Fracture, whatever. You try to maximize your physical ability uptime because Razor Spikes only buffs your physical abilities. So you want to, you have to, if you want to max it, there's a setup involved. To every single DS, there's going to be a setup involved. Or you can ignore that and just pop DS, and then your shears do more damage. And it comes out to roughly the same, maybe slightly less than Agonizing Flames. Mm-hmm. But it's still close enough that you'll be fine. I'm actually excited to play around with that, because I said it since Alpha that Razor Spikes definitely has potential. But at the moment, it wasn't, because Immolation R just did too much damage to Shine AoE.
I'm not a super min-max kind of person, but if one of them, like, you know, if yourself or you know, somebody reputable says, like, this one's better, then that's what I think the large amount of the community is going to say, all right, I'll go with that. And taking into account, you know, the content that you're doing and the level of progression you're at. But if, you know, if one of them's just better than the other one, and it's, you know, and yes, I do look at whether or not something's passive or not, that definitely plays into it. Just, you know, with the time and energy that I have, you know, if one of them's better, I'm definitely going to go for that. But so you're saying it with the, gosh, I don't want it to be nerfed. And 7.1, so Razor Spikes is probably going to, it's going to be a better choice or just for single target. Okay.
Because Soul Cleave takes so much pain and DS is going to be up, so you're not going to get as much pain because of that, because Demon Spikes is going to be up, so you're going to have the damage. So it kind of is counterintuitive to AoE because Soul Cleave takes so much. Whereas Agonizing Flames, another reason why Agonizing Flames is so good is that it's just a passive buff to your AoE ability that you use on C. So you don't have to play with it, you don't have to toy with it or nothing. You just pop it and you're good. You're already going to do more damage.
Gotcha.
Razor Spikes, you, like I said, there's a little bit of a setup, but I'm perfectly fine with that because it in my opinion, is going to make the class a little bit more engaging, especially for DBS min-maxing, which I'm sure that there's a couple guys I talked to that are really excited about that. All right, so on to the next, level 100. So this is one of the two rows, one of the three rows, really, that has a lot of synergy, has very good balance. So Feast of Souls, it's whenever you Soul Cleave, you get a hot, so it's good for single target. Fallout has a roughly 60% chance to proc a soul fragment. Notice I said fragment, for each enemy hit. So if you have five enemies, you have a 60% chance per enemy to summon a fragment. You can summon up to five. And then Burning Alive is generally more your higher level Mythic Plus stuff. So when you got like five enemies up and they're not that fast, Burning Alive is pretty good for that. Because it's a 40% damage reduction, and it affects all of them. It's really good for that.
So I just liked it for AoE, because, I mean, you throw that up, even if it's not Mythic Plus, even if you're just trying out Demon Hunter, you don't know what you're doing, that seems like a good one, because AoE is what can kind of get tricky for Demon Hunters. I don't know. And I feel like putting that up like is an automatic damage reduction on everything around you.
It only spreads to five targets. So, you'll max have it at six targets. So if you have 20 around you, only two of them are going to get touched by that.
Okay. I didn't realize there was a cap, but.
Well, what it does is when you cast Fire Your Brand, and then every 2 seconds, starting with the second of that tip of that dot, it's going to spread. So the dot goes up to 10 seconds. So it's going to spread at 8, 6, 4, 2,
oh, 0. That makes sense then, huh? I guess
6 max.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't see a cap on the tooltip, but that makes sense. And if you actually just look at the math,
it only spreads from the person, it doesn't. Otherwise, it could just like go in circles and just keep spreading around, which would be amazing. but also will be in Broken.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Oh. Okay. Well, that makes sense then. If you're more than five targets, then it's just going to cap out anyways.
Right. So that's kind of the general thing. Burning Alive is more for the higher content because weaker stuff's going to die pretty quick, but you're going to have some targets. Whereas Fallout is more for when you have a ton of the targets, and especially once you get Painbringer, Fallout becomes really good, especially the more targets you get, because if you can get a five thing every time, if you get five souls every time you cast Immolated Tara, Fallout, you're going to have a 15% DR for 4 seconds, guaranteed, like every time you cast Immolation Aura, as long as you're pulling a good amount, which most people will. So your base, so you're going to have like 16 seconds of 15% DR just because you took that talent. Like minimum 16 seconds because you get 4 casts a minute. Increase by hand.
All right.
Next one, next row, 102. So this row, I applaud Blizzard because they balanced it almost perfectly, except for Fel Eruption. In my opinion, Fel Eruption is weaker than the other two because, one, the stun is a single target. It's only 2 seconds. It's not even like a Hodge. It does. You can out DPS it with both, and it costs pain. And it has a 35-second CD. Before, it was dealing crap tons of damage. It was dealing over a million damage, which was nice.
Oh, jeez.
Now that it deals like 300k or 200k, whatever it is, it's really bad. So in general, don't take that. Fellblade is your single target, it's your single target DPS, your survival, your learning, and then Flame Crash is more for a weak DPS. And when you get Charred Warblades, it can potentially out heal. The amount of pain you would get from Fellblade if you dump that into Soul Cleave. It could heal that because of the amount of targets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it just depends on how many targets you have. If you can get... If you mass pull, spread that, you know, the sigil's going to hit everything, and then you're going to get that ticking heal for the 6 seconds for everything you hit. So if you get 20 targets, you're gonna get a 6-second dot, basically, compared to Fellblade is 20 pains, so you're going to get maybe 100k heal or something. So
I am so used to Fellblade being a part of my rotation now that I it's hard to take that away. I feel like there's just a hole there. I was talking about a long time ago how I felt like Fellblade should just be baseline anyways, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's been preached since Alpha. And a lot... all the beta testers for that main Vengeance were crying the entire pre-patch because we didn't have Fellblade.
Oh, dude, it was awful. Yeah. We went in and did
Hellfire
Citadel, and I didn't have Fellblade. I was like, this is stupid.
That was the main QQ from all the beta testers. Everybody was like, I miss Fellblade so much. And then all the new people were like, what? I don't get it. Like, I like Flame Crash. Look, you leap, and then you get a sigil. It's like, no, you don't understand. I love that tier because it's just so balanced. Like the tier right before, they're just so well balanced that I love it. Now going on to 104. This is one of the main two controversies in the Vengeance community. So you got Feed the Demon, Fracture, Soul Rending. Fracture gives you 2 souls. It's the hardest hitting physical ability that you have, and if you use it right, it will be the most damage. Like if you use like on Nith, especially because you don't need Soul Cleave for that like at all, Fracture will just do so much more DPS than anything else. But a lot of people like it because you don't waste the souls. It's an easy way to get souls, and it does DPS. Granted, it's only single target, but people like it for that. As far as the more practical uses, there's Feed the Demon and Soul Rending. Feed the Demon is semi-trap talent because it reduces the CD on your Demon Spikes, your active mitigation, for every soul you consume. Right now, the average soul consumption, assuming you use Soul Carver on cooldown, is 15-ish souls a minute. With zero haste, that's exactly one demon spikes per minute. It's 10%, that's a 10% uptime buff, your AM, and it's one demon spikes a minute. So, and it could be even less. And that's only on the first minute. The second, you're going to get even less because you can only get one cast of Soul Carver in that minute. You're going to have five less souls, which is going to put, so you're going to get 10, which is only going to be 2/3 of a DS. So you're only going to get like a 6-7% uptime.
Really?
Uptime buff. Yeah. So it varies because Soul Carver is 40 seconds. You get two casts a minute, or two casts for the first minute, one cast for a second, two casts for the third, one cast for the fourth, et cetera, keep going on and on if you use it on cooldown. So so your uptime will vary. It'll go between 10 and 6 on average. So 8% average buff. And that's a single, that's without fallout on single target. Fallout on single target is, I don't recommend it because it's a 60% chance, which means 2 out of 4 immolation auras are not going to give you a soul. So you're only going to get on average 2 souls. Which is nothing. It's 2 seconds off your demon spikes, or like less 150k heal. So that's nothing. That's why I recommend Piece of Souls for a single target. And then the other talent that most of the beta testers go with, which if you read the forums, a lot of times the people that vie for Feed the Demon hardcore are usually the newer players. Nothing against them. I have no problem. I'm not elitist. I started guide writing to try to help casuals as much as possible. And so generally the newer players prefer Feed the Demon because it makes sense. Soul Rending is what beta testers prefer and the higher level players prefer, generally. Because what it does is it gives your Metamorphosis buff 50% leech. So that counts for Last Resort, counts for Metamorphosis cast, and it counts for Fueled by Pain, which is a random... cast that's, or it's a one, it's one RPPM chance of when you consume a soul of proccing meta. And in dungeons, it's like broken. It like does 3 a minute on it, like all the time.
You'll get, oh yeah, you'll, I see it all the time, it. Man. I just thought that's the way it was. I was like, this is kind of cool.
In dungeons, yes. In raiding, but it's RPPM, so you could go a whole fight without, like I've even heard of couple people that got so unlucky they went an entire 30-minute dungeon without a single proc. But then the next fight, you'll go and you'll have 3 procs back to back. I've also seen that. So it's, you know, the variance on it is crazy because it's RPPM. So there's several fights that you're going to be like, oh, well, Metamorphosis sucks, or Fueled by Pain sucks. And then you look at the logs and it's like, yeah, because you didn't get procs for the first 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden you got 3 procs during minute 2. So,
So if people don't know, the RPPM that originated, was that from the trinkets in Thunder? What was that? The
Throne of Thunder, is that it?
With the Pandaria trinkets that were the random procs per minute.
Real. I think it's real procs per minute, isn't
real.
It?
Yeah. Real. Random.
Relative procs per minute.
In this case, it's random.
Relative procs, because it's saying that if it's 1 RPPM, so if it's 1 RPPM, so on average, you'll get 1 a minute. If it's 3, you'll get on average 3 a minute.
So it's not
you
like...
You could get 6 a minute, or you could get 0. That's the variance in it.
Right, okay.
So, but over the course of 6 minutes, if you got 3 in 1 minute, then you would get like less than, you know, less than 1 the other minute.
Could. Because there's no ICD... internal cooldown, because there isn't that, it can be janky. Like I said, you could go 3 procs in a minute, or you could go no procs. So it could go either way. So Soul Rending gives you a 50% on AOE, especially in dungeons. It's really good because that pops. You can see all kinds of stories read every single day about guys that pop at their last resort and the healer died and Last Resort popped, and they soloed the boss from 50% health. Or they soloed all the trash in half the dungeon,
right.
Whatever. It happens every day. People talk about it every day. And then right in those exact same threads or in the exact same conversations, somebody will go on and say that Feed the Demon is better and Soul Rending.
I've been using Feed the Demon only because kind of what you were saying, it was like just looking at it, that one, like without any math, like that's the one that made sense to me.
Right.
But
I'm not saying it's unusable. Believe me, I understand Feed the Demon in some scenario very useful, is very nice. On Ursoc, I prefer Feed the Demon because he just does so much damage and Feed helps you prevent the damage. Elreth, Feed is generally better because you have the web. So the web, Leech isn't going to help you as much on the web because you're still going to take damage and spread it to the other tank. Whereas Feed is more of a damage damage reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna take less, and by proxy, the other tank's going to take less, so it's going to be smoother. So there are certain scenarios that I do recommend Feed. Believe me, I don't just disregard it, but I do believe that Soul Rending is the best in more scenarios, but Feed definitely has its niche. And especially in dungeons, where if you run Fallout, I recommend that to some newer players that are just really struggling. I usually recommend Fallout Feed because it's easy. It just happens. You don't have to try for it. Like burning alive, I can say, hey, you know, it's really good for you. But if a lot of people, especially when you first start playing, you forget about your CDs. You know, I need to press these three buttons, and this is my AM. And then they forget they have cooldowns. Or they might use the cooldown like once or twice. That's why I recommend Fallout with Feed for generally newer players. And I consider it more of a newer thing and a very certain scenario like Ursoc or Elreth.
Cool. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. Thank you.
106. Quicken Sigils, Sigil of Chains, and Concentrated Sigils. So Quickened is a fan favorite. It takes the... generally, when you cast a sigil, it has a 2-second duration until it explodes. Quicken turns that into a 1-second duration, and it reduces the cooldown by 20%. So on my guides, I have the actual numbers up. I don't remember them offhand. I know that Sigil Flame is 24 seconds. I think the rest of them are 48 seconds. I remember off the top of my head is what they get reduced down to. And then Sigil of Chains is the poor man's Gorfiend's Grasp. Don't get it confused because it's not as strong. Gorfiend's is 20, Chains is 8. So yes, it can be placed. Yes, we can use it more, but it's only 8 yards, so it's less than half of the radius of And then Conch Sigils, which don't generally recommend except for pushing DPS on in like a single target boss scenario or scenario where you do not need to place the sigils. Mythic Plus, Conch Sigils is you're never going to use that.
Yeah.
Whereas on raiding, you can use that pretty often because it's going to increase the amount of it's actually if I remember correctly it's like 1% higher up on your sigil flame dot if you use conic sigils over quickened. But if you have the bracers, it's better to go quickened.
I happen to have those bracers, and I was going to ask you here because I saw in the note. So between those bracers and quickened sigils, you can have your sigil flame up a lot.
Yeah, if you want it easier and you want someone semi survivability, you could go con. It has the longer duration and it won't be up as much. The reason why I suggest quickened for it, if you have the bracers, is because it takes it down to 24 seconds, and then the chances of getting a few soul cleaves in that time is really high. So especially if you're using Flame Crash, you can guaranteed have like 100% uptime on Sigil of Flame. And then in dungeons, you're gonna especially with that, you can have a Sigil of Silence up every 10 seconds or so, 10 to 15 seconds. You can have an AoE Silence up. So it's just like Quickened is better in those scenarios. And so if you need to place them, basically the general rule of thumb is Conch Sigils if you don't need to place them. Quickened if you have the bracers or you need to place them. And then Chains is optional if you want that Gorfiend's Grasp style mechanic. Just keep in mind, it is not as good as Gorfiend's Grasp.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
It's definitely the budget version. All right, cool.
Okay, 108. So, Fellow Devastation, Blade Turning, and Spear. Blade Turning you generally never use. Very specific scenarios. It can be useful. You have high uptime on multiple mobs. As Kane showed in the ever-growing popular Four Dragon, Demon Hunter, Soul Barrier, Blade Turning, Eat the Demon, Wombo combo that he did, where you tank the Four Dragons.
Yeah.
And broke the internet. So, and then outside of that, generally, no, you don't really use it. The other two options, Fell Devastation and Spirit Bomb. So, in general, Fell Devastation will be more DPS, usually, the vast majority of the time. Fell Devastation will be more DPS, and it's burst healing, though not as much as people think it is. It is more so used like as a 2-second immunity almost. Because when you're breathing, your health generally does not drop. It might not increase because you're getting healed for so much during it. It might not increase as much, but it also doesn't drop during that time. It is very hard for your health to drop during that. Because between leech healing and the actual healing from the ability, it adds up so much that during that 2 seconds, you're pretty much invincible. So a lot of people like it for that. The other option, which is actually getting buffed on Tuesday, going back to those changes, is Spear Bomb. So that's getting buffed from 10% to 15% leech. And so the way that works is you get a soul, you press the button, it uses a GCD, and it throws that soul at the target, and it explodes, and all the targets that got hit gives you new leech for that amount. Or, I'm sorry, it's not actually, it doesn't say it's leech. It's not technically leech, but it is. You basically leech it, but it doesn't count under leech. It counts under spear bomb. So that's the smoother option. So the toss-up is at the very basic level, is Fell Devastation is generally more DPS, and Spirit Bomb is smoother / overall healing, but Spirit Bomb requires managing your souls,
yeah,
which adds an extra level of complexity to the class, whereas Fell Devastation is just press a button, breathe green fire, and GG.
Yeah, I love Fell Devastation, especially for AoE pulls.
A lot of people like it because it's actually got a pretty...
Yeah, the animation is amazing on that one. It's kind of like the tank's version of the laser eye beam.
Well, the original version was. It was pretty much exactly that, what with our meta. They, during beta, it literally was like just an eye beam with our metamorphosis. That was the only thing. And then they changed it into a breath.
I kind of like the eye beam, but whatever. It still looks good.
All right, talent row. So... Last Resort, Nether Bond, and Soul Barrier. Nether Bond, I'll go over first. Links you guys. It's basically a spirit link between the two tanks. If you tank during WOD and you got the legendary, same thing. It spreads your healths. It just kind of like helps you guys out. It has it's like a CD for the tanks, but it's so niche that right now I can't think of a use for it. It could have potential in the future. But we'll see how it goes. And then the other two talents, which is the second most controversial thing about Demon Hunters, is Last Resort versus Soul Barrier. And this is definitely the most controversial. So very similar to Feed the Demon and Soul Rending, beta testers generally prefer Last Resort because what it does, it's like a purgatory or cheat death, as many call it.
Yeah.
Where if you... are supposed to, if you get hit and you should die, instead you get healed for 30% health, and then it pops it gives you 15 seconds of metamorphosis, so basically it pops it, you have soul rending talented, then you get the soul rending because you have metamorphosis, so you're getting the pain, you get the extra you get the last stand buff for meta, and you get the heal. And it can be used to negate some stuff. So I've seen guys that got hit for like 20, 25 million damage, and then it popped Last Resort. And he, on his healing logs, it said he did stupid amounts of healing, but it's because Last Resort technically absorbed 20 million damage.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, So if you, Rock Last Resort, it counts whatever you it like whatever left over after what it's technically absorbed by Last Resort. So a lot of people use this at, in two ways. Either it's an uh-oh but talent, as many call it, which is basically if you make a mistake and you die, it rocks and you're good.
Or if your healers are not sober and you die.
Or if that.
For the record, the that's not me.
That's what I would say. But the more advanced version is the more advanced version is you use it as a, so say you're pulling a big pack, or you're like you're going into like a mythic plus ham and you pull everything up to like the first boss and your healer is AFK and then you're just like, okay, whatever. You pop last resort proc, and then you just soul rending and you go, you just out heal. The healer would have done anyway, and you do the most damage. GG. So you can use it like that as a forced proc, which some people don't seem to understand the concept of, because they're like, oh, well, it's an uh-oh button. It's not a forced proc. If you force proc it, then it's not an uh-oh anymore. It's like, well, if I'll talk about that after Soul Barrier. So Soul Barrier.
No, that's like a clever use of game mechanics.
Yeah. DK's been doing a purgatory. Now we get it, and all of a sudden it's bad.
Well, and I think the difference is ours. You know, the Demon Hunter one comes with a lot of benefits, where the purgatory one is basically like, oh my god, I'm going to die. Please throw some heals on me. This one comes with a lot of benefits.
Yeah, I used to poke at Trax about that. He always thought it was funny that DH has got, like, with all the things that happened to DK, and then Demon Hunter's got Last Resort. I always used to rub it in his face. And then the other one, Soul Barrier. So Soul Barrier is, it gives you a shield, and then gives you a shield with an 8-second buff, and then during that 8 seconds, has a minimum absorb. So what the minimum absorb does is it's basically just a shield that can't go away, or you could consider it a form of DR. So say it says you'll get a 500k shield absorb, it can't be lowered below that. So what that means is that, you know, the 50k shield, say you get hit for 100k, 50k of that gets absorbed, 50k of that comes to you, and that's during that entire 8 seconds. You get hit for 100k each second, you're only going to take 50k of the damage each hit over that 8 seconds, even though it would have technically eaten the absorb if it were any other ability. And during that time, any souls that you consume, including when you cast it, because when you cast it, makes you consume all souls within range, just like Soul Cleave. And it gives you a shield for them, which is equal to the amount that they would have healed you. So they do also heal you and can proc meta, can proc Painbringer, all that. They still act the same, but you also get a shield on top of it. And during that 8-second buff, any souls you consume during that time also add a shield. The exact same amount, just how much they were going to heal you. You still get the heal from them and all the procs, but you also get the shield. And it's actually getting buffed in 7.1. So it's going from an 8-second buff to a 12-second buff. And it's got a 20-second cooldown.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. So is that going to – does that change?
I already know what you're going to ask, and no.
Okay.
In most cases. So Soul Bearer has found use, like came with his Four Dragons lead Soul Bearer usage. It has its niche moments, things like that, or you could argue for Elreth, or the Web of Pain, because Web of Pain counter absorbs. So technically that 50k absorb is for both of you. So you could technically argue for that, for the web specifically. But it's better for lower level content. And the argument against Soul Barrier is Last Resort is better because it saves wipes. Soul Barrier has a chance, or just kind of smooths things out. So if Last Resort, if there's no chance of Last Resort proccing, you don't need the survivability anymore. So just dump Pain into Fracture, dump Pain into Soul, do more damage, and you're going to do, You're still going to get some healing from it, but you're going to do more damage.
Gotcha.
So Soul Barium is smoother, and it people who look at KRSI for whatever reason, which they even guys who made it came out and said it's bad, people still look at it. Soul Barrier and Feed the Demon will always be better on KRSI than Soul Rending and Last Resort because they provide a form of damage reduction. That's why. They provide an absorb or a damage reduction, so it makes your health smoother. Whereas Soul Rending and Last Resort are, they do similar things, but they do it in a different way. They help your survivability in a different way. I think that's where a lot of the controversy is coming from, because Feed the Demon and Soul Barrier are kind of flat understanding. Okay, I'm getting DR, I'm getting more AM, which AM, everybody tells me AM is good. I'm getting a shield, which everybody tells me is good, so I'm good. Last Resort and Soul Rending is the more complicated route, and it doesn't, which Last Resort really shouldn't be, because it's an auto wipe saver. Anybody who's pushed as a tank, think of Azul. Think of how amazing Last Resort would have been. How many wipes you could have saved on Azul Harak.
Oh my gosh.
From, like, if somebody accidentally did a tank swap or whatever, somebody pulled aggro and then you died, like how many times you died or whatever that could have been saved by Last Resort. And if you died on, if one of the tanks died early on in that, it's a wipe. But you're like pretty much guaranteed, unless you were three tanking. And then it's a little bit different. But if you're two tanking, yeah, like Last Resort could have saved you so many times, to where Soul Barrier would have just made your life. And it also goes into the argument of people are so tank, like newer tanks are so concerned with how their healers, so they're so concerned about what their healers think. And like personally, I've always had a better relationship than with anybody else. I've never had a better relationship with anybody other than healers and other tanks. And it just happens. You can't force it. You can't say, well, or whatever, you know.
I know exactly what you mean. It's that's the type of synergy that you get over time. It doesn't, it's not just there.
So rant over. Soul Barrier in some situations. Last Resort, good and better in most. I will not say always one will be better than the other. There will be times I will be proved wrong, and there are some very certain scenarios where one is better than the other, but in general, Last Resort is the go-to. Soul Barrier is more of a lower level content ability or a very specific scenario, i.e. a four track.
So how about just real briefly, maybe we can get into what it means to your single target priorities versus your AOE priorities. You know, what's some of that look like?
For the most part, it's pretty much the exact same. So I have them up on both Wowhead and if you want to see a more detailed version. But so in general, Soul Carver, use it on cooldown, Fell Devastation, use Soul Cleave at 80 pain. You generally want to always use Soul Cleave at 60 pain or above because you want to use it at 60 pain. Yes, it scales linearly, but if you use it at 30, if you use 230 pains, yes, you'll do the same amount of damage, but you're using one extra GCD to do it. So extra GCD means less overall damage because you could do a Soul Cleave and a Shear or whatever. So generally, I rule of thumb, I say at 80, you can Demon Spikes if need be. After that, Immolation Aura. Then after that is your talents. So Fell Blade, Fell Eruption, Spirit Bomb to keep up frailty, your Blade Turning procs, Fracture, Sigil Flame is towards the end. If you're using Flame Crash, Infernal Strike, it's off the GCD, so you can really use it. So you pretty much just want to use it so that way it's not going to, or that way you can have at least one of them on cooldown, and it will until after you can cast a Sigil of Flame.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Sigil Flame is about to die out, so the way those work is you do pandemic, but because the debuff is so short, you get a very small pandemic window of like a second, pretty much. So general rule of thumb: if you're not using Quicken Sigil, cast Sigil Flame 2 seconds before the debuff expires, and and then if you are using Quicken Sigils, cast. Or two is fine because of the 1 second pandemic. Then, if you're using Flame Crash, you want to cast it 3 seconds before it expires, 2 seconds with Quickened, because Flame Crash or Infernal Strike takes 1 second to land. It's roughly a second, and then it takes the other 1 to 2 seconds for the actual sigil to explode, so 3 seconds out is the general rule of thumb, and that's all in the guides. And then lastly, Shear for any empty globals. So you should every GCD should be filled. And the AoE rotation is pretty much the exact same. You just prioritize.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of them, some takes, there's a difference, but yeah, I wasn't noticing a huge difference for the AoE rotation on Demon Hunters.
Yeah, because most, like, our main AoE abilities, Soul Devastation, Immolation Aura, Soul Cleave, Sigil of Flame, use those on both single target and AoE. And so they're part of our general rotation. They also just so happen to AoE. So we don't have any AoE specific abilities that we do not on single target. Sigil of Flame is the only one you could argue against, just because it does do more damage than Shear, but it has very little survivability benefit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't provide any pain. The only benefit it has is charred warblades, so it has that little bit of dot healing. So that is the only one you could kind of argue, but I still include it as part of the DPS because it's more DPS.
I like more DPS.
Let's do.
So talk for a minute about cooldowns then. I know Demon Hunters aren't known for having a ton of cooldowns, especially the Vengeance spec. What do we got in our toolkit?
So we have Demon Spikes. It's our active mitigation. It 15-second recharge baseline reduced by haste. So if you have zero haste, it's at 50% haste. It's at 10 seconds. Cost 20 pain. On MMOC, MMO Champion, it'll read as 200 pain sometimes. But that's just how the program that they use to pull the data, for whatever reason, it adds an extra zero. So if it says 200, it really means 20.
Oh,
40. So yes, it's something to do with the program that they use zero for whatever reason. So you get two charges of Demon Spikes. It gives you 20% parry, which if you have the defensive spikes trait, the artifact trait, you get an extra 10 seconds during the first 3 seconds. Or I'm sorry, you get an extra 10% parry during the first 3 seconds of Demon Spikes. And casting Demon Spikes while Demon Spike, the buff, is already up does not do the Demon Spike, the defensive spikes trait buff. You have to have the buff has to be off you in order to get the defensive spikes, the extra 10%. So ideally, you wouldn't just cast them back to back to back unless you were like in had a ton of haste with a bloodlust and you were trying to push out stacks as possible just to get a really high uptime. So in general, you do not want to cast them back to back. You want to cast it, and then as soon as it falls off and it's gone completely, then you can cast the second one, because then you'll get that way. You get 6 seconds of that extra 10% parry, because otherwise you would get the same amount of DS uptime, but you would have 3 seconds less on the defensive. And then Demon Spikes has a passive 20% damage reduction built into the ability. And then it works with our mastery, which our mastery is for each point, it reduces the amount of damage taken further with a baseline of 6%. So minimum, we have 26% damage reduction on Demon Spikes, and then it's increased by mastery, and our mastery is taken down to its 466 points for 1% DR. As opposed to the the attack power is 350 points for 1%, like many other classes. It's so 350 for 1% of that. But because we recently got nerfed to the point where it's now 466% for 1%, so it's roughly 75% of what it was. I'm sorry, it's roughly 75% of 350. So our scaling on mastery basically got screwed over during that nerf. I got lowered.
Yeah, mastery got wrecked.
Which is a good thing, because before our mastery cap was 18 something K mastery was all you needed. And there are people that have over 13K. So they were only 5K away from hitting 100, which would have happened in Nighthold, more than likely. So that's why they nerfed it so heavily so early, because it could have scaled out of control, especially with the Mythic Plus dungeons.
Yeah.
With eye level buffs coming in with Nighthold, increasing the eye level of those. And people are only sitting with 13K mastery at 850, 860 eye level. You know, add an R60 eye level to that, well, you know, what are the chances that they're going to get 90% plus DR? So, yeah. So they basically, what they did was they nerfed our skill. We have a higher base, but we have a lower scaling curve. I'm fine with it, because it kind of fixes. It means that it won't get touched. That's our active. That's our only active mitigation. Next, we have Empower Wards, just a basic magic reduction. It's a 20-second CD, 6 seconds of 30% reduction. If you get the Siphon Power trait, any magic damage you take during that, you can get up to 15% agility. And then basically, how that works is, for 1% of damage taken, you get 1% agility, and it refreshes as long as you are taking magic damage during the buff. And gives you a 10-second buff for Siphon Power for the agility, and it can refresh itself if you have Power Wards up during that time. So, like, if you get a dot on you and you take 15% off the bat, you could potentially have 16% agility for 16 seconds, and it's on a 20-second cooldown. So, if on heavy magic damage fights, we're going to have high uptime on 15%, which will be fun to play with. And min-max with. And then next we have Fiery Brand, which we said earlier spreads with Burning Alive. The DR for it does spread. It has Fiery Demise, the artifact trait of ours, that increases the amount of fire damage we do to the target that we cast Fiery Brand on. The Fiery Demise does not spread with Burning Alive. It is only on the target that we cast Fiery Brand on. It increases their fire damage taken by X percent, so it's between 10% and 60%, depending on relics and whatnot. So they kind of gives us a sort of burst window. And real quick, what that would look like is you would Infernal Strike into the target, and right before you land, you cast Fiery Brand into a Sigil of Flame, unless you have Flame Crash on. Unless you have Flame Crash talented, sorry. Having throat issues, I ate a bunch of pizza before this. So you Infernal Strike into Fire. Then if you have Flame Crash, or, I'm sorry, if you do not have Flame Crash talented, you can flame. If you do that and you go immediately into Immolation Aura, it's a Soul Carver, then cast your Sigil Flame, then you cast Fel Devastation, and any GCDs left, you can go into Fel Blade, Shear, Fel Blade, etc., as easy fit. And so that adds a little bit of a fun kind of sort of buff. It doesn't do as much damage as you will, unless you do have like the full 60%. If you have a high percent, it'll do an okay chunk, but you're not going to get like crazy burst numbers from it, especially because the fire. And then last, we have Metamorphosis, which we talked about several times. Basically, it's a stronger version of Last Stand. It's 15 seconds. You get 30% increased health baseline, increased to 45% with the artifact trait, and maxed out at 60% with relics. So 15 seconds, 30% health. It's on a 3-minute cooldown, and you generate 7 pain every 1 second during that. So you generate pain during it, so you can use it as a cooldown. And some guys do use it as a cooldown. As a DPS cooldown, because it does generate that pain. And Soul Rending does work with it, obviously. So it can, again, if Last Resort is on cooldown, if you pull a big pack with that, you can go kill the boss real quick, and then you move on to the next pack, pull a bunch, and then you pop Metamorphosis. You kill the next boss, then Last Resort's up, and then you kill the next boss, and the Metamorphosis is up.
So kind of like alternating your big ones?
Yeah, you can do that. It just depends on how fast you're pushing. You know, you overgear Heroic or something, and you just want to push it as fast as possible, you could definitely do that, because it gives you the exact same buff. It's just whether or not you want to cast it or use the Last Resort proc. And with obviously with the Last Resort, it has that chance of backfiring later in case you die for some. So there is that chance, which, you know, every time you force or you Last Resort procs, you know, so you just kind of have to deal with it, whatever. And otherwise, you die. But that's something that a lot of guys do, is they use Last Resort and Metamorphosis as mass pull, soul rending. They out-heal anything, and you do tons of damage. So
you can cheese it, and you can use it, you know, as kind of a tactic. But I guess the best case scenario then is if you're on progression or you're not really sure, you know, how the fight's going to go, to actually save it for the obvious design of Last Resort is to save you from dying, not to give you a massive boost in damage.
Yeah, and I just use dungeons for that example because dungeon. I mean, you usually kind of know how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull a bunch of trash or whatever, or I know that this boss, like I can pull all the trash to the muscles. You can pull all the trash to the first boss. You pop Metamorphosis or you let Last Resort proc. I prefer let Last Resort proc because it gives you that buffer time to build up pain, and then so that way when you do actually die, you can immediately soul cleave, and you're gonna soul rending heal a ton on top of your soul cleave healing. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have the pain built up because of pain from taken, which people underestimate, and it can actually be majority of your healing on harder content. A majority of your pain comes from damage taken on harder content. So I prefer using Last Resort.
Is Fel Devastation good to try and save for Metamorphosis?
You can, because Soul Rending is going to heal you for it. So if you really need an old crap button, sure, you can do that. Generally, most use it. I'm sorry, most higher level tanks use it as part of towards the tail end or during Fiery Brand. That way they can get that extra DPS out of it is generally the way it's used. But if you want to use it for the survivability, use it. I will use it more so as a blend of Metamorphosis,
mm-hmm,
instead of like at the very beginning. So that way you can get a little bit of the heal, and then you can also bank a little bit of that pain during it. Because during Metamorphosis, if you die during Metamorphosis, then either A, you popped it too early and you weren't ready or your group wasn't ready, because you can still die while it's up. The chances of that happening, if you do it right, are extremely low if you have Soul Rending. If you do not have Soul Rending,
crazy.
Yeah, but if you have Soul Rending, you're pretty much, I don't think I've ever died during Last Resort with Soul Rending. And that's where like the legends of the Vengeance Demon Hunter soloing bosses and or trash comes from, is from Last Resort and Soul Rending, or Metamorphosis and Soul Rending.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's all of our abilities.
I think the only other question that popped into my head that I wanted to touch on, are we still at a point, I guess this applies to everybody and not necessarily just Demon Hunter tanks, but are we still at a point where item level trumps stats, or does it just depend on the difference in eye level? And
it depends on the stats and the piece. Things like necks, rings, and trinkets do not fall into the category of eye level because they're different, because they have, like, necks and rings only have stamina, and they have a big chunk of secondary stats. That's their primary mm-hmm. thing now, is that they have the secondary. They have huge chunks of secondary stats. So those, you're going to go for the secondary stats on trinkets. Trinkets, you go for the procs, which for some reason people think that, oh, this trinket has X amount of versatility on it. That means that it's OP strong for me because it has versatility on it, even though it might be a really bad trinket. Or they go, oh, this trinket has crit on it, so it sucks. But it's like, no, that's actually got a good, whatever. You know, people don't
gotcha.
Like it. Mm-hmm. But in general, go ahead.
I'll probably follow up with you afterwards because I've got like 5 or 6 trinkets in my bag, and I honestly am not really sure which ones I should be.
I try to maintain my guides. You can ask the guys over at Icy Veins, the guy that I talk to specifically, because the way they do it is we send them the guide info or like what needs to change it themselves. Just, you know, as a like a precaution, mm-hmm. in case, you know, somebody gets upset or wants to troll or whatever, which is, you know, fine and all. Mm-hmm. So I message that guy almost weekly. So
nice.
You know, like, hey, here's a slight tweak, or hey, you know, I just noticed that this was wrong. You know, because I took over the guides for Wildhead and Icy Veins when the previous guy had quit, like Raven's Legion came out. And I was working with that guy before, but he hadn't updated the documents he had sent them for like a month. So I had to like go through everything and figure out what was right and what was wrong. And then had to tell this guy what was right and what was wrong. So it took a while. So there's still some things here and there that mm-hmm. I might have missed, you know, with the so many guides and so big and all. But I try to keep, I have trinket lists and BIS lists on both of them. Granted, BIS lists mean so little these days with Titan Forged and RNG sockets and Forged. BIS isn't really a thing anymore. And I do preach that, but at the same time, I put the list out there because some people want to know, you know, what bosses should I coin? You know, I have this coin, who can I use it on? I can't use a Myth Plus. What can I use it on? I make the list just so people know who's, you know, if they want to get that good piece, this is who they should coin. But I also have trinket lists on there. As far as the BIS trinket list, I do not have one currently. I'm still debating on what I'm going to do about that because some of these are good in different ways, or different scenarios, or different combinations.
Right.
In general, for Nightmare, I prefer Goblet. Any combination of Goblet, of Nightmare Shaker, which is the one from from Ilganoth. The Bloodthirsty Instinct, which many people are crying about because it's really good for tanks, but DPS are getting it because it's a DPS trinket.
Right.
It procs so much haste. It's like a 50% uptime on haste, which is good for tanks. It's going to DPS because it's technically a DPS trinket, but many raid leaders don't know that. So raid leaders, if you have a tank, make sure you ask them if it's good for them because it probably is. Combination between Goblet, Bloodthirsty Instinct, and actually the Dark Moon card Immortality, which is the crafted gear is getting a buff on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you can upgrade them to 8 of 8. I think it's Tuesday. This is when it's coming out. I see pictures of it. So you can upgrade it to 8 of 8. So it's only 5 eye level, but you know it makes it a little bit better. And DMC is just so strong for tanks in general, especially for bears. But for tanks in general, it's really good because it's like constant like 8 damage reduction, so and it's flat, and that helps us when in our downtime, which is where our main issues are. Our main issues aren't spikes when demon spikes isn't up,
mm-hmm.
which is part of why versatility is so strong for us, and part of why haste is so strong for us because both of those are when demon spikes isn't up. Whereas mastery is mainly helps you when demon spikes is up, which we're already strong in.
So I have a question for you. Now you had mentioned the synergy with your healers. Is there something now? Contrary to popular belief, my main is a Resso Shaman, which is a healer.
Here we go.
So is there something as a healer I should know about a Demon Hunter tank? If if a Demon Hunter is tanking my dungeon or tanking my raid, is there something I as a healer should be aware of or should know?
He's probably bad, and you should make him go to bear.
Shoot.
Sorry, Rob.
Correct.
But I would never make you go bear.
No, because like you look at like Brewmasters, and they kind of thrive at a certain health percentage that it's not full health, you know. And so it's I think there's nuances to all the tanks. You think Demon Hunters have they have a little more self heals than some warrior.
To be fair, we're actually one of the lower tanks on the healing side. We're actually one of the weakest tanks across the board.
Dang.
Like, even on...
what am I even playing?
Yeah, I know. And people like us because we're fun.
All right.
That's why most people play D&D.
Yeah, it's super fun. I'll give it that.
So don't let their health get too low or they're screwed. Got it.
Okay, so here's the thing. So if you're running Mythic Plus with a healer or with what a lot of the guys that I know do at main Vengeance is the healer that they want to run with primarily. Usually they'll track their cooldowns. So they'll track Fire Brand, Metamorphosis, Demon Spikes, and most importantly, Last Resort. If you're running with a healer or a tank that you know well enough that you know you're going to run with a while, I would track some of his CDs, especially Last Resort, and you got to get in that ebb and flow because Vengeance is a spikier style of a health bar. Many healers hate us because of our spikier nature, and part of it is just that we don't have a lot going. Like our healing is kind of low, and we're meant to be more of a healing tank, but our healing is low. Imperative, which actually, if you go to Warcraft logs, we're the second lowest healing tank across the board.
That's crazy, man. There's been a few times where I straight up out healed some of the healers.
Sometimes you definitely can. If you get the right procs, or you get a soul rending with a meta, you can definitely out heal a lot of stuff. Depending on the scenario, especially in dungeons, it's very easy for a healer during Metamorphosis, Last Resort, or whatever.
Yeah, if you have a sad Disc Priest who doesn't like his Disc Priest.
It's a little bit harder if you're pugging, but if you're with one that you know, like I said, make sure I have Last Resort up, the tank has Last Resort up, and he wants to proc it, or he has meta up, and he's about to use it, or whatever. Like, if he's going to force proc Last Resort, like I said earlier, make sure that both of you know, so that way you're not just going to blow your cooldown, because, and you'll instinctively go, okay, the tank's like at 30% health. All right, I'm about to, pop all my CDs on him. Well, he's trying to proc Last Resort. All that's going to do is a lot of guys don't track the buffs that they have that healers put on them. So they won't notice that they got the, they'll get like an iron barks with men, hand of sacrifice, whatever, but they won't know it and they'll keep pushing, trying to make Last Resort, force Last Resort to proc. And then their healers get pissed off and they get upset and everybody gets upset. And then it's just, everybody has a bad time. And that's where I think that's where part of the stigma comes from, is people doing stuff like that. On the opposite end, as a tank, if you're pugging with a pug healer, if you're at 3% and the healer casts his Hand of Sacrifice, Iron Bark, whatever on you, you need to adapt to it. You need to go, hey, he just casted this on me, so I'm not going to force Last Resort, and I didn't communicate it. So make sure you're tracking the buffs. When it gets cast on you, roll with it for a second, then you can cast, you can force Last Resort to proc. If you still need it by then, by the time the buff wears off, you can go for it. But try to make sure that everybody is under the same idea, that everybody's on the same page and knows what's going on. All right, guys, go back to the hero side. Basically, yeah, we're spikier in nature. Sucks sometimes. Hopefully things will go better in Nighthold. But in general, we can hold our own. And I think as far as the 15s go on Warcraft logs, are the more... We have higher numbers, or like the amount of tanks that have done it from each spec. I think we're the highest, or it was like second highest or something. On Warcraft logs, I think druids might be the only ones that beat us. Because I think there's five or six this morning when I checked, vengeance demon hunters that cleared 15 this morning.
That's crazy, man. Even the thought of 15 to me right now is just insane.
Yeah, and I was in the boat of we would have issues, but people prove me wrong, which I'm not complaining about at all. This means that we're better off than people.
Well, there's the upper echelon, like you were saying at the beginning, that, there's a certain skill level that people have that the people who play for a living or the professional streamers and stuff, they just have a different level of skill and time and energy to put into the game. And for me, I'm like, oh, I'm taking this one because it's passive, even though it sucks. I want to do better without necessarily rerolling. So I think I picked up a lot of really, really good stuff tonight. Some of my talents I need to go back and revisit. And Daryl, did you have any more questions?
I don't think so. It was the main thing I had. My Demon Hunter right now is still 100. I got it to 100 on the pre-patch, but haven't had the time to level it any further. So,
and if you go tank spec, man, you'll like it. Is just so stupidly fun. Just, you know, the constantly bouncing around, and like it's just so good.
That's one of the main comments you'll hear if you frequent the Demon Hunter Discord, especially. Not so much the forums, but if you frequent either of the Discords, you'll see that pretty often. Like, oh, people will ask the rankings of the tanks. And they'll go, oh, well, that sucks. And then they'll go on a rant about how they love playing the Demon Hunter, how much fun they've had playing Vengeance. Like, how many guys came over from Warrior because it's been the same thing for 10 years, and they're sick and tired of it. So now they want to try something new. And they fell in love with Demon Hunter, or they came from this class, from a DK, or they came from a Monk, or Paladins suck now, and their gameplay sucks. So, Demon Hunter is just so much fun. Like, it's common topic that comes up multiple times a day, every single day. People have a lot of fun, and I love it. I'm very happy that I stuck with it, and I picked it up. Because in the beginning, it was rough. Demon Hunter's, anybody who played early alpha Demon Hunter, Vengeance, really rough. I think it went through two or three iterations during alpha.
Yeah, I remember it was actually, it didn't come out right away. They had a Havoc was out, and it seemed like it took a little while for Vengeance to get finally pushed out there.
Right, yeah.
Well, do you have any more points that you want to make before we wrap it up?
Not really. I mean, I accidentally get kind of ranty, so I think I spoke of, if you guys had, if there was anything you guys I didn't touch on enough.
No, it is perfect. Yeah, and you're in the right place for that. That is why we ask you on, because I know that you have done the time and done the math, and it's good to hear where some of my shortcomings are. I'd like to go in and fix some of those. So thank you. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I have no problem helping anybody out. I have no problems helping out. Some people think that I'm a tyrant, and sometimes if I'm having a bad day or you're asking me the question that I've been asked the 50th time that day. At that point, I might be a little I'm always down. If you message me, that's the easiest way to get me in a calm mood. Just message me instead of posting up in a chat or something. I usually respond better to those.
Perfect. Well, if you guys want to send us an email, the address is theshow@thetrainingdummies.com. And if you'd like to add to this or any other topics, or if you have questions about future topics, you can feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord server. And all that information is over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
I'm going to take all of your shoutouts. I'm going to say thank you to Monkey for coming on tonight. I'm going to say thank you to the Raid team for another 7-7. Man, that went really fast, too. It would take like 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, we did good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm super excited for BlizzCon, so thank you, Blizzard, for putting on that event. So, Daryl, what about you?
I want to definitely thank Monkey for coming on the show this evening and talking Vengeance Demon Hunters. When I do start to level my Demon Hunter, I'll have a very good resource here in what to do if I choose to go Vengeance. And like you said, see, it's just copying what you said. It just isn't fair. But the Raid team, of course, because, yeah, we did 7-7 in 2 hours, and I think we'll get some of those heroic bosses this week. I'm pretty sure we'll get at least one this week. We'll try and keep the bourbon buffs to a minimum, perhaps. A little less. Monkey, what do you have for us for shout-outs this evening?
Just a couple quick ones. Like I said, I mentioned the Discord several times. Ooh. Hunter Discords that I work with. The Fellhammer is one of them, and Mardoom is the other one. They're both fine. They're both Demon Hunter Discords. You can find all the vengeance done by me. I mod those channels specifically. I'm not very active in the other ones, but in those the vengeance channels, I hold down very well. A few guys that help me out, specifically Jello, Delimit, and Greyhound. I say thanks to you guys. Help me out a lot prepping for this. And everybody else who supports me and you guys for letting me on. It was a good time, my first podcast. So I had a good time. It was fun.
Right on, man. Thank you. Thanks again for coming. I know you have mentioned the Discord channels. Is there anywhere else that that you want people to reach you out if they got questions about this or anything else?
I'm on Discord all the time, so I have it on my phone at work. And I frequent MMO Champ, and I don't use the social medias. So pretty much MMO Champ or Discord is best.
All right, perfect.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 142 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics, so until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!